We shall now turn to Psalm 68. Psalm 68, and we shall consider this psalm together this evening. It's a large psalm. There's lots of fascinating truths in it, but hopefully we can gather some of the main teachings of it together tonight. We see that it's a psalm or song of David, so David was obviously the author of it. It would seem to have been written after some great victories that he had had. And it seems to be particularly written in connection with bringing the Ark of God up to Jerusalem. Remember how the Ark had gone down to the land of the Philistines and then came up eventually to the house of Obed-Edom, and then from Obed-Edom it was brought up in great procession to the place that David had prepared for it in Mount Zion in Jerusalem. So David's the author. But we must remember that behind David is Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is the author. And it's a psalm about Jesus. Yes, it tells us something about David and his experiences, but David is only a type of Christ. And this psalm is really talking about Jesus for us. And it's the Lord Jesus who leads forth his people to victory. It's the Lord Jesus who ascends up on high, ascending after his first descending to the lower parts of the earth, descending into the very grave, and then he ascends up on high, leading captivity captive and giving gifts to men. Our Lord Jesus is set before us here, fighting, battling, crushing Satan, ascending up on high and bestowing great benefits and blessings upon his people, his church. So, first of all, then, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let all them that hate him flee before him. Now, it's interesting that these words, or very similar words to these, were used as the Israelites made their way through the wilderness. You remember that in Numbers chapter 10, verse 35, when the pillar of cloud would rise up from the tabernacle and move forward, Moses would say, "Rise up, O Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered." And the pillar of cloud by day would lead them through the wilderness, the pillar of fire by night. And then when the pillar of cloud stopped, when the pillar of fire stopped, they would stop and set up their camp again. And Moses would say, "Return, O Lord, to the thousands of Israel." There seems to be a reference to that here. God's people are his Israel, going through the wilderness of this life. We're on a great journey, a journey to the celestial city. Rise up, O Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered. Lead thy people forward through the wilderness of this life to the promised land and to the new Jerusalem of heaven. That's the way the psalm addresses the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire, the Shekinah glory, the presence of God with his people there in the wilderness. And his presence is with us still. Where the two or three are gathered together, there's the pillar of cloud over the sanctuary. God is there. God is in the midst. The Lord Jesus Christ, present by his Spirit in the midst of his people. Arise, O Lord, let thine enemies be scattered. Sometimes you and I, we focus in upon the enemies, don't we? And we think of perhaps it's individual people who are making life difficult for us. Maybe it's troubles we have in the family, troubles we have amongst our neighbours, troubles even in the church. But we have to lift up our eyes to look to the Lord who sits upon the throne, to remember the word that says, "Be still and know that I am God. I'm in control. Rise up, O Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered." But of course, particularly our enemy is Satan, the prince of darkness, and all his armies that follow him, that seek to destroy the church and the individual Christian. Rise up, O Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered. We look weak. Yes, we are weak in ourselves. But the Lord is there to lead us forward. Sometimes we're very conscious of the forces of evil in the world today, the forces of secularism, bringing out laws contrary to God's word here in our own country. We think of Christians in China, and we see the force of communism trying to crush the Christian church. Christians being put in prison and being fined for just worshipping God. We see in Islamic countries Christians being tortured and beheaded and all sorts of things happening to them. But look up. The Lord is more of might by far. Let thine enemies be scattered. Let them that hate thee flee before thee. As smoke is driven. See smoke, and then the wind comes, and the smoke is blown away. It's so easy for God to blow away his enemies. As wax, the soldiers arrayed against God's church are like wax figures, and the heat, the fire of God begins to burn, and the wax melts and shrivels away and becomes a little puddle of wax. Who can stand against the fiery force of our God? As smoke is driven away, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. Who dare be wicked? Who dare stand against our God? People say, "Oh, I'll give God a bit of my mind when the judgment day comes. I'll tell him what I think about him." Alas, alas, puny little man, he will melt away like wax before the consuming fire, which is Jesus Christ. And then verses 3 and 4, the joy of the righteous. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them rejoice exceedingly. Be joyful. So often we're sad. Little things can get us down. Our own sins, our own shortcomings, our failures. And we feel sad and discouraged. But no, rejoice. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. You are justified by faith. You have peace with God. There's no condemnation for the Christian. Let the righteous be glad. You are righteous, perfectly righteous, because you're justified by faith. Rejoice before God. Be thankful and joyful that Jesus Christ, his blood has washed away all your sin. Rejoice exceedingly. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. We can't keep our mouths shut, can we? We can't stop singing. We must sing. Throughout the endless ages of eternity, we'll be singing. So we've got to start singing now, because if we don't sing now, we won't sing in eternity either. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him that rides upon heavens by his name, Jah. Rejoice before him. He rides upon the heavens, rides upon the clouds. And he's coming again, riding upon the clouds to judge the world. Look up and see. The Lord Jesus Christ is exalted. He's great. He's wonderful. Sing to him. Praise him. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, be glory and dominion and power, world without end. Let us rejoice in the Lord our God. Verses 5 and 6, what a great Saviour Jesus is. He's a father to the fatherless. How sad the condition of the fatherless is. Well, it was terribly sad in Israel, because if you didn't have a father, you had nobody to earn money for you. There was no social security. There was no provision made for the needy. You depended upon the charity of neighbors. Well, but there is a father for the orphans. God is a father to the fatherless. Jesus looks after the poor and the needy. He's the judge of the widows. The judge. Remember the widow woman who came to the unjust judge, pleading for help. He said to himself, first he was thinking, I'm not going to help this woman unless she gives me a bribe. And the poor widow couldn't give a bribe. But then he thought, if I don't help her, she'll keep on plaguing me and pestering me, coming back, and she'll weary me. I don't fear God and I don't fear man, but yet I'll help this widow in case she's a pest to me. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ is not like that, like the unjust judge. Come to him with your prayers. Shall not the Lord avenge his own elect who cry unto him day and night? Yes, he will avenge them speedily. Oh yes, we have to keep coming. But he will avenge. He will speedily. He cares for the fatherless. He hears the widow and delivers her. Who dare oppress the widow or fatherless? They will find that God is their enemy. Jesus Christ will stand up for the poor and the needy. I poor and needy am. Come, Lord, and make no stay. You and I spiritually, aren't we like the fatherless and the widow, poor, helpless souls, doomed to end up in hell? But Jesus comes to deliver those who have no father to deliver them, who have no husband to care for them. He is our father, and he is our husband. The Lord is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. God setteth, verse 6, the solitary in families. He bringeth out those that are bound with chains. The solitary. It's lots of lonely people in the world, no doubt feeling terribly lonely over this past year, confined to their homes. But as Christians, we should never really be lonely. Never really lonely. Because we've got a great friend. And we belong to a great family. By nature, we were solitary. But now we're in the family of God. We've got those who care for us, a father, a husband. God said of the solitary in families, he bringeth out those that are bound with chains. Doesn't that describe us? By nature, chained. Slaves in the land of Egypt, working for Pharaoh, But God opens the prison. He breaks our chains. He sets us free. And now to us belongs the glorious liberty of the children of God. Those that are bound with chains. Yes, you were, and so was I, bound with chains. But the chains are broken. We've been freed. Enjoy the liberty you have as a Christian, a child of God. But the rebels dwell in a dry land, a desert, and a wilderness. Are you a rebel? There's nothing to look forward to if you're a rebel, but a dry land forever, where you'll be crying out for a drop of water to cool your tongue. No, no, make sure you're one of those who trust in Jesus and who drink of the fountain of living water, and the river of the water of life will be there constantly to provide for you. The rebels dwell in a dry and desert land. Then verse 7. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness. What a lovely picture it is. There's the armies of Israel coming out of the land of Egypt. And who's in front of them? The Lord Jesus marching before them, leading, follow me, follow me. The pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, symbolizing Jesus. The Lord Jesus leading his people. Thou wentest forth before them. Thou didst march through the wilderness, providing for thy people. Verse 8, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Remember when Israel came to Mount Sinai? And God, again Jesus, came down upon Mount Sinai. And the mountain shook and burnt and smoked and burnt like a furnace. And Jesus called to Moses to come up into the mountain. And Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. I remember some years ago being in Peru, and a missionary there telling me about earthquakes, what it was like, how frightening it was when the ground under your feet is moving like the sea, and when you're seeing buildings cracking and falling and the ground opening around you, and the noise of all this movement of the earth, how terrifying it is. So what was it like when God came down upon Mount Sinai and the earth shook at the presence of God? Well, our God is awesome, majestic, powerful. How important it is to fear God. Fear God and keep his commandments, for that is the whole duty of man. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The earth shook, the heavens dropped at the presence of God. Sinai moved at the presence of the God of Israel. Verse 9, thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Remember the Israelites, how they were so weary in the wilderness. They were hungry. And God sent a plentiful rain, a rain of manna, bread from heaven coming down upon them. And then quails falling around the camp, flesh in the evening. When they were thirsty, the water from the rock flowing to them. Thou didst plentifully send this rain, a rain of blessings. Everything they needed was rained down upon them. Plentifully. No lack. There was plenty manna for everyone. No Israelite was ever hungry in the wilderness. And no Israel died of thirst in the desert. They had so much. God sent the plentiful rain. Thy congregation hath dwelt there, O God. Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. Thy congregation, the flock of God, there they were, God's church in the wilderness. They dwelt there and God was with them. God preparing his goodness for the poor. He hears the cry of the poor and the needy. The poor cry to him. This poor man cried, God heard and saved him from all his distresses. Thy congregation, dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty, the pillar of cloud above their camp, through the day to shade them from the sun, the pillar of fire giving bright light to them in the darkness of the night. God giving a plenteous rain. And then verse 11, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of them that published it. The Lord gave the word, the gospel, the glad tidings. Well, you remember when they came to Sinai, how God spoke to them. God gave them the law. But it wasn't just the law. It was the law and the gospel. And the law is essential to the gospel. And the gospel doesn't make sense without the law. And you remember how God said to them, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. I am your Redeemer. I am your Savior. Put your trust in me. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The gospel. The gospel was on the Passover lamb. The gospel was on the burnt offering, the sin offering. The gospel was on the Day of Atonement. The gospel was there, God's grace and mercy and forgiveness. Yes, there was law. And if you love me, you keep my commandments. But Lord, we can't keep your commandments. We do love you, but we fail to keep your commandments. Ah, yes, but the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from sin. I give you grace, and with the help of my Spirit, you will grow in grace and you will grow in holiness and you will be sanctified. And one day you will keep my commandments perfectly. One day when you get to heaven. God gave the word. And God's people were all to be prophets. Every one of them. And you and I are to be preachers. Ministers of the word. Every one of us, not everyone preaching from the pulpit, but everyone proclaiming Christ, telling the good news, the glad tidings of the gospel to those who are dying without God and without hope. The Lord gave the word. Pick it up. Bring it forward. Tell it. Publish it. Verse 12, kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Remember how they came into the land of Canaan, and there were great armies arrayed against them, with chariots and horsemen, trained soldiers, frightening array of huge armies. But the Lord put fear in their hearts. Kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. It was so easy for the Israelites when they came into the promised land. They came up to the walls of Jericho and walked around them 7 days, and the walls fell down flat. You remember when the great army of the king of Jerusalem and all the other kings came against them, and God sent great hailstones from heaven, mighty blocks of ice falling upon the army of the Canaanites, chasing them and destroying them. Kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home, the women, dividing up the spoil. This is the kind of God we have, the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us victories. Verse 13, though ye have lain among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove covered with silver and her feathers with yellow gold. You will be covered, as it were, with silver and gold. How exalted you will be, how blessed, how treasured, how much possessions you will have of everything, of the very best. Because when you have God, you have treasure. You are rich. You are prosperous. Verse 14, when the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow on Salmon. The snow on Salmon, well, God scattered the kings, their bodies upon the mountains rotting away, their bones shining white, bleached by the sun, that looked like snow upon the mountains. These great armies destroyed in the presence of God's people. Verse 15, the hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, and high hill is the hill of Bashan. Why leap ye, ye high hills? This is the hill which God desires to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. God's hill, Mount Zion. Just a few hundred feet high. But God's hill is far higher than the hills of Bashan. Mount Hermon, 9,000 feet high, but it's only a little foothill in comparison to God's hill. Why? Because God has chosen Zion, and God has exalted Zion, and God's hill is the blessed hill. There's no hill like it. It's the hill that leads us up to heaven. It's a wonderful place where God has desired to dwell. In this mountain will the Lord of hosts make unto his people a feast of fat things, of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wine on the lees well refined, a feast in the house of God. Come, join together, let us gather in Jerusalem. The ark of the testimony is there. The Lord has presenced himself there. I joyed when to the house of God. Go up, they said to me. Jerusalem, within thy gates our feet shall standing be. Well, for us, Jerusalem is the church. It's the gathering of God's people here. We're here tonight in Jerusalem. And we might feel like a tiny little hillock, but no, we're greater than Mount Hermon. We're the hill of God, and God comes down on the hill to meet with his people and to have fellowship with them there. The hill of God is higher than the hill of Bashan. Why leap ye, ye high hills? Why do you boast yourselves, you great Mount Everest? This is the hill which God desires to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell with his people forever. Verse 17, God's chariots are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai, in the holy place. I never read this verse, but I think of my mother. She often quoted these words in her native Gaelic. Carapachinye na fichet me. Yes, indeed, God's chariots are 20,000. She used it with the idea behind it that God has so many different ways to convert people. Every Christian is different. God has so many different ways of answering prayer. God has all these different ways of blessing us, delivering us, helping us. Well, yes, that is the idea, isn't it? Of course, the idea originally was that you had these Canaanites with their thousands of chariots, but God has 20,000 chariots, a mighty army of angels. Though the Canaanite armies are strong, why are you frightened of them? If God be for us, who can be against us? God's chariots, God's ways of working, God's ways of delivering us. God has so many different ways of rescuing his people, of raising up his people, of advancing them, promoting them, blessing them, saving them and bringing them into heaven. The chariots of God are 20,000. What a wonderful God we have. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. Not to the mighty heathen with their powerful armies, but to you, his feeble flock. He sends you forth as sheep among wolves. How can a sheep survive in the midst of a pack of wolves? What can a pack of wolves do to a sheep that God is looking after? It's just like Daniel in the lion's den. Not one lion could touch him because God was with Daniel. Verse 18. Now this verse 18. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. This verse is particularly speaking about the ascension of Christ. You remember how Paul quotes it in Ephesians 4, verse 8. Our Lord Jesus had fought with the devil, overcome him, crushed his head, and ascended up on high. And ascending up on high, he gives gifts to men. What gifts? The gift of the Holy Spirit. You remember how the Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. 50 days after the resurrection, 10 days after his ascension up to heaven, the Holy Spirit was given. And when you get the Holy Spirit, you get all the other gifts too. Justification, adoption, sanctification, assurance of God's love, peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Ghost, increase in grace, and perseverance therein to the end. All these blessings come to us when we have the Holy Spirit. Thou hast ascended up on high, and God gives gifts to men. The Lord Jesus bestowing these gifts. Blessed be the Lord, verse 19, who daily loadeth us with his benefits, the benefits of this life and the benefits of the life to come, even the God of our salvation. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. Yes, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You are given life and resurrection, eternal life. issues from death. But God shall wound the head of his enemies, the hairy scalp of him that goeth on in his trespass. He wounded Satan's head, didn't he? He crushed it. And he will wound all the heads of his enemies. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan, I will bring my people from the depths of the sea. God's deliverance. Thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies, and the tongue of thy dogs in the same. Complete victory. Your feet dipped in the blood of your enemies, in Satan's blood. He destroyed. Satan shall be bruised under your feet shortly, and your feet shall be dipped in Satan's blood. They have seen thy goings, O Lord, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. And this part here particularly refers to the going up to Jerusalem, the procession, bringing the ark of God. The singers went before, the players and instruments followed after. The damsels were playing with timbrels. David was there, do you remember him? Dancing with all his might. And his wife Michal looked out of the window and despised him. That's undignified for a king to do that. And David said, I will do it because I love the Lord. And I will be nothing, that God will be everything. That's the way we've got to be as Christians. Not ashamed of Christ, but prepared to look a fool for Jesus. Bless ye God in the congregations, even the Lord from the fountain of Israel. Christ is the fountain of Israel. The river of the water of life, the well of salvation. There is little Benjamin, Judah, Zebulun, Naphtali, the princes, the tribes gathering together to worship God. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast brought for us. Our strength is from God. Because of thy temple at Jerusalem, kings shall bring presents unto thee. Well, that happened in David's time. Kings came and brought presents to the temple, and then in the days of Solomon. But of course, this particularly refers to the future. Yea, all the mighty kings on earth before him down shall fall, and all the nations of the world do service to him shall. The kings bringing presents, the nations of the world bowing before him. Rebuke the company of spearmen, the multitude of bulls and calves, till everyone submit. Those who are like bulls and calves and enemies of God's people, they will be brought into subjection too. People like Saul, the persecutor and blasphemer, he will come and submit. He did come and submit. Princes coming from Egypt, Ethiopia stretching out her hand. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises unto the Lord. Yes, indeed, we're looking for it. Egypt, Ethiopia, China, Russia, Brazil, America, India, every part of the world coming and bowing the knee to King Jesus. Sing, O ye kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises to the Lord, to him that rides on the heavens. Again, a return to this. We had it earlier in verse 4. God riding upon the heavens, Christ rising from the dead, riding upon the clouds, Christ upon the great throne, Christ coming to judge the world at the end of the day. Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, his strength is in the clouds. O God, thou art terrible, terrifying to the wicked, terrifying to the enemies of God's people. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. forever and ever and ever. My Lord and my God, my Saviour, my King. Rise up, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered. Pray to Christ. Put your faith in him. Look for the coming of his kingdom. Look for the victory of Christ over all his enemies. Rejoice that Satan and all who follow him will be crushed into the ground, and your feet will be dipped in their blood. And rejoice that the Lord Jesus sits triumphant in heaven, in the midst of his people, dwelling with him forevermore. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we thank thee for these encouraging psalms that thou hast given us, that set before us so clearly the glory of the Redeemer, the Son of David, the Prince amongst the princes, the King amongst the kings, the Lord of lords, who is like Jesus, who is like him who led his people by the pillar of cloud by day and the fire by night. Who is like Jesus, who gives victory over sin and Satan and death and hell. Who is like Jesus, who will dwell amongst his people forever, looking after his elect throughout the endless ages of eternity. O Lord our God, help us to see that whatever trials and troubles we might have in the short term, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, through Jesus Christ. Amen.